Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. The United Nations hope data use for responsible disaster management. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to review Central Kalimantan by air and land tomorrow. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. The Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations for Humanitarian Affairs, Ursula Muller, in Jakarta on Tuesday, appreciated the launch of the National Disaster Logistics Planning Information Platform conducted by Pulse Lab Jakarta. Ursula Muller said that the launch of the platform has high potential in providing opportunities for authorities of natural disasters mitigation. Nevertheless, Ursula reminded the importance of maintaining the confidentiality of people's data. By using technology advancement, National Disaster Logistic Planning Information Platform can provide information in huge amount that can be used to mitigate the disasters. Ursula hopes this platform usage can ensure confidentiality of data used.
With new capacities also come new responsibilities. And at the same time, as we ascertain the many ways in which data and new technologies can be used, we need to ensure that data is managed responsibly and in a safe way. We must ensure data is accessed and used in ways that respect the right to confidentiality and privacy of all citizens.
Furthermore, Ursula Muller, who is also the Deputy Coordinator of UN Emergency Assistance, said that all sides that are responsible toward natural disaster mitigation need accurate data, update, and easy to access. According to her, the use of this platform will not only facilitate the planning of natural disasters mitigation, but also can be used for planning the development of affected areas after the disaster. Pulse Lab Jakarta launched Natural Disaster Logistics Planning Information Platform on Tuesday afternoon. Pulse Lab is an institution that was established through partnership between United Nations Global Pulse and Indonesian government through Ministry of National Development Planning, Bappenas. Head of Jakarta Pulse Lab, Derval Yusor, said that the Natural Disasters Logistics Planning Information Platform is an open source that combines non-traditional data from reliable sources, including social media. This platform implements the use of large amounts of data to deal with development challenges, especially natural disasters, starting from economic condition in the affected area, geographical condition, infrastructure development, as well as information from people about the earthquake-prone areas through social media. She hoped that all parties involved in disaster management can make the right decisions in every natural disaster that occurred.
So today we're launching a national disaster logistics planning information platform. And so basically what it is, it's an open source platform that uses big data. And it integrates non-traditional data sets and provides real-time insights following a natural disaster. So it gives lots of different non-traditional data sets so humanitarian responders can better plan disaster response.
National Disaster Logistic Planning Information Platform collected various information about disaster that occurred in a region. Therefore, users moreover hope that all stakeholders on disaster handling institution could change their work system by using non-traditional information so that the disaster management can be implemented better. Indonesian President Joko Widodo confirmed that he reviews a number of areas in central Kalimantan province on Wednesday, both by air and land. The location to be reviewed include Katingan District, Gunung Mas District, and Palangkaraya City areas. The president explained that all aspects would be seen and assessed to move the capital city from sociology, environment, and social politics to water availability and various other aspects. Previously, Jokowi admitted the Central Kalimantan governor had explained to him Central Kalimantan's readiness if it was chosen as the location of the new capital city. The governor had outlined the land area that has been prepared in connection with the planned relocation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, during a photo exhibition about Indonesia's contribution to world peace, stressed that peace must be built, cultivated, and nurtured all the time. The exhibition was held as part of Indonesia's presidency of the UN Security Council in New York. The exhibition showcases Indonesia's peace-building initiatives in many countries which have been part of its diplomacy over the past 5 years. At the opening ceremony, the Indonesian Foreign Minister emphasized that for Indonesia, peace went beyond the absence of war. Community empowerment, development, human rights, and democracy should be parts of the picture. Therefore, building and maintaining peace could only be attained through tangible commitments. The port exhibition documented Indonesia's contribution toward global peace under three sub-themes, namely investing in democracy and peace building, investing in the women as agents of peace, and investing in development cooperation. The exhibition is being held at the south wall of the UN headquarters and will be on display for 2 weeks between May 6 and 7. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The chairman of the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, Tokyo Center's Socio-Economic Recovery Team, Watanabe Wanohito, and a number of JICA Tokyo Center representatives stated their readiness to help the socio-economic recovery of victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Central Sulawesi. This was said by Tokumaru Suji, JICA Tokyo Center Project Formulation Advisor, in Palu on Thursday. Previously, Palu Mayor Hidayat received the JICA Tokyo Center at the mayor's office on Tuesday. According to Tokumaru Suji, silar leaf woven crafts are very suitable to be developed, especially by women in the city of Palu, since it has quite tempting selling value and acceptable in the market. He hopes that these steps can be effective in restoring the economy of disaster refugees, especially women. The Pacific Exposition Trade, Investment and Tourism Exhibition, initiated by the Indonesian government, is aimed at opening market access for superior products in Indonesia and countries in the Pacific region. Through the exhibition, held in Auckland, New Zealand from July 11 to 14, Indonesia wants to increase its presence and influence in the Pacific. Indonesian Ambassador to New Zealand, Tantowi Yahya, said that Indonesia is geographically an integral part of the Pacific community because its 5 provinces are located in the Pacific Ocean. Indonesia's presence in the Pacific will expand the market in this region, which has a population of 30 million and $1.2 trillion of GDP. However, Ambassador Tantowi said that Indonesia did not want to compete with the 2 countries, even with the United States and China, which were also expanding their influence in the Pacific. Through these activities, all countries in the Pacific region, including Indonesia and Timor-Leste, are given the opportunity to showcase superior products and investment potential. The government has predicted that more than 22.83 million eighth all-feeder holidaymakers will travel by public transportation this year, up 4% compared to last year. Director General of Land Transportation of the Transportation Ministry, Budi Setiadi, sat at a coordination meeting on Aid of Feeder Transportation 2019 in Jakarta on Tuesday, that 2.4 million holidaymakers offered to travel by train, 1.4 million by plane, 4.3 million by private cars, and 940,000 by motorcycles. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said this year's homecoming is themed Safe and Harmonious Homecoming in accordance with President Joko Widodo's directives. To that end, the government will impose one-way traffic to anticipate congestion due to the influx of holidaymakers travel from Jakarta and its surroundings to West Java and Central Java. This year, an increased number of homebound travelers are choosing to use the Trans-Java toll road. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on Palestinian Muslim grief in Gaza in the beginning of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan that started last May the 6th is a holy month for Muslims all over the world. They look forward to it when people would fast and try to do more good deeds. However, in Ramadan 1440 Hijriah this year, Palestinian Muslims in Gaza are in mourning. The Israeli bomb attack launched since Monday night not only disrupted the devotion of worship, but claimed lives and caused damage and injuries. The atmosphere of the welcoming Ramadan in the Gaza Strip was filled with grief, wounds, and tears. As a result of Israeli attacks, at least 12 Palestinians died. The Israelis themselves denied that some of the victims who died were caused by their attacks. Chronologically, the tension that broke out into war occurred on Friday when Palestinians in Gaza rallied against the blockade by Israeli soldiers. In the incident, it was reported, a Palestinian wounded two Israeli soldiers near the border wall. Israel then responded with an airstrike that left two members of Hamas forces dead. Israel then began bombarding Gaza. Reaction came from Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan related to the destruction of the building which was the location of the Turkish news agency Anadolu. Erdogan, through his comments on Twitter, as reported by the AFP news agency, stated that Turkey and Anadolu news agency would continue to tell the world about Israeli atrocities in Gaza and other parts of Palestine. The question is then, what is the reaction of the international community over the turmoil and Israeli attack on the Palestinian territories in Gaza? Some countries see the crisis in Gaza as a problem between the Hamas militant group and the Israeli military. Because of that, a ceasefire and guarantee that there will be no attack will depend on Hamas and the Israeli military. But the real issue of Palestine is not just Hamas and Israeli military affairs. Recognition of sovereign Palestine is the only solution. That is a commitment that must be realized and encouraged through various efforts and negotiations. The Palestinians has long lived peacefully without fear of the threat of Israeli soldiers, who often carry out blind attacks in the Gaza Strip, as happened before and in the early days of Ramadan this year. A sad irony. When Muslims all over the world welcomed Ramadan with joy, Palestinian Muslims in Gaza worship in danger and the shadows of Israel's deadly attacks. Well, that was commentary today on Palestinian Muslim grief in Gaza in the beginning of Ramadan. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the world. Today in history, what happened on May the 8th? I'll begin with May the 8th, 1945, the Second World War in Europe officially ends. On May the 7th, 1945, the commander of the German Armed Forces, General Alfred Jodl, signed a document stating Germany surrendered unconditionally and ordered all German military personnel to stop firing on May the 8th at 11:01 local time. Then Marshal Wilhelm Keitel-Field, along with a number of high-ranking German officers, flew to Berlin and signed the same document with the Soviet Union. The news of Germany's surrender was accepted by people in Western Europe in the morning of May the 8th, which was greeted by millions of people who took into the streets celebrating their end of suffering. While in Moscow, Russia, this news arrived on May the 9th, so the celebration of the end of World War II has now differed between in Western Europe and in Russia. I'll end Today in History with May the 8th, 1948, the first World Red Cross Day. May the 8th, 1948 was celebrated as World Red Cross Day for the first time to appreciate the services of the founder of the World Red Cross Movement, Henri Dunant, who was also born on the same date. The commemoration of the World Red Cross Day aims to inspire, facilitate, and also promote all humanitarian activities carried out by the International Committee of the Red Cross and members of the national community who are joined together. In addition, it is also used as an opportunity to appreciate the services of volunteers and staff who struggle to save the lives of many people. Well, that was Today in History with what happened on May the 8th. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the World.
Hari demi hari dan juga malam, dari malam aku bernafas lalu mengingat semua tentangmu. Saat berdua hatiku pun tergetar, saat kau senyum hatiku pun berdebar, ternyata bukan milikku. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari cintamu yang cinta pada dia. Berharap kau segera melupakannya, berharap kau tak lagi suka padanya. Tuhan tolong ubah hatinya. Berulang kali kau titip salam. Diriku menginginkan diri.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today is Indonesian Industry Ministry invites Germany to hold Industry 4.0 training. Indonesian Industry Ministry, together with German government, held the first internationally certificated master trainer training in Indonesia. The program was part of Indonesian Human Resources Competency Improvement to Face the Industrial Revolution 4.0 through training or internship in industries. That was stated by Secretary General of Industry Ministry Haris Munandar in written statement on ministry's website on Sunday. Haris Munandar said that Industry Ministry set 10 priority programs in the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap. One of them is competent human resource development suitable for industrial needs. In the implementation of master trainer training, some stakeholders were involved, namely Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Indonesian Business People Association, East Java Profession Certification Coordinating Board, and Central Java Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Meanwhile, ones from Germany were Deutsche Gesellschaft for Internationale Zusammenarbeit, Industry und Handelskammer, or the Trier Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Germany, as well as German-Indonesian Chamber of Industry and Commerce. The training, which was participated in by 16 participants from various companies, held at Industry Ministry's Human Resources Development Office in Jakarta on April 22nd up to May 3rd. According to Haris Munandar, after graduation, master trainer will be assigned duty to train new workplace trainer who will develop training programs in industry and provide guidance to the trainee industrial sector. Therefore, the trainees who were given pedagogic or comprehension skills in industry can be competent in their sector and quickly absorb in job market. He said, master trainer also had duty to create new instructors in industry to develop vocational education ecosystem. He hoped vocational education issues in Indonesia can then be solved. Previously, Industry Ministry had implemented vocational education, which uses double system concept to create competent human resources suitable for industrial needs. The learning method adopted from Germany is 70% practice and 30% theory. The concept is obligated in all vocational education unit under Industry Ministry, consisting 9 vocational high schools, 10 polytechnics, and 2 community academy. That was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Relaxing at the seashore and enjoying sunset is always the right choice when you are having holiday. You can enjoy amazing sunset at Tanjung Setia Beach in West Lampung. It takes about 8 hours from Raden Intan II Airport, Bandar Lampung, or it is located around 273 kilometers or around 6 to 8 hours trip from Bandar Lampung City. Tanjung Setia is located along the western beach near the South Bukit Barisan National Park. The waves at Tanjung Setia Beach is known as one of the best waves by surfers throughout the world, and it is similar with the famous surfing spot in the world, namely in Hawaii. Tanjung Setia Beach is sharply at the big streaming line of the Indian Ocean. Unfortunately, the beach is not quite popular yet for surfing competitions like in Bali or Lombok. There are only some surfers who know the beach that is quite interesting for surfing. During surfing session, on June to August, waves at Tanjung Setia Beach can reach up to 7 meters height, stretching around 200 meters to the shore, which makes it good for place for surfing. Some related parties do some efforts, including by organizing competitions in order to promote the beautiful scenery of the beach to both local and international visitors. In early May 2019, the beach has become a place for international surfing competitions. The competitions attracted surfers from 23 countries. All participants said that the waves at Tanjung Setia Beach is truly perfect for professional surfers. Tanjung Setia Beach has white and soft sand which stretches along the beach. There are many palm trees at Tanjung Setia seashore, which makes it more beautiful. In addition, Tanjung Setia offshore is also a fit location for fishing sport lovers to catch abundant fish. There is a giant blue martin fish which is known as Iwa Tuhuk by local people. Blue marlin can have weight up to 50 to 70 kilograms with the length spanning around 170 centimeters. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Harus jujur pada hatiku. kau dan aku tak bisa bersama. Bagai syair lagu tak berirama, selamat tinggal kenangan denganmu. Senyumku melepaskan kau pergi. Engkau bukanlah sebuah kesalahan, tak pernah aku menyesal mengenalmu. Tapi biarkanlah aku terbang bebas, mencari cinta sejati. Hatiku, kau dan aku tak bisa bersama. Bagai syair lagu tak berirama, selamat tinggal kenangan denganmu. Senyumku melepaskan kau pergi. Kau dan aku tak bisa bersama.
Alright, listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Nomor Rumah or Home Number. Next is a conversation about nomor rumah or home number. Tony and a woman taxi driver arrived at Jalan Garuda. The taxi driver was difficult to find a house number 5 because there are not all houses set number. The driver asked people around the housing area.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Ya.
Yang mana ya rumah nomor 5?
Maaf, saya tidak tahu. Saya bukan orang sini.
Oh, maaf.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Permisi, maaf, which means excuse me. Yang mana, which means which one. Yang mana rumah nomor 5. Yang mana rumah nomor 5. Which means, where is the house number 5? Saya tidak tahu. Saya tidak tahu. Which means,
I don't know. Saya bukan orang sini. Saya bukan orang sini. Which means I'm not living here. To ask about choice, you can use question mark yang mana or which one. In the dialogue, the driver asks someone, yang mana rumah nomor 5? Or in English, where is the house number 5? Phrase number 5 can be changed with the name of homeowner. For example, yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Yang mana rumah Pak Joko? Or in English, where is Pak Joko's house? In the dialogue, the person answered the driver's question, saya tidak tahu. Or in English, I don't know. Saya bukan orang sini. In English, I'm not living here. The expression saya bukan orang sini means he or she is not living in the area. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Permisi, maaf mau tanya.
Ya.
Yang mana ya rumah nomor 5?
Maaf, saya tidak tahu. Saya bukan orang sini.
Oh, maaf.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Aku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat menatapnya. Mengapa aku begini? Hilang berani dekat denganmu, ingin ku memilikimu, tapi aku tak tahu bagaimana caranya. Tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap maukah denganku. Ku rasa ku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat beratapnya. Di sini aku berdiri menanti waktu yang tepat hingga akhirnya ku mampu katakan padamu. Oh, tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, mungkinkah dia tahu cinta yang mau. Oh, oh, oh. ucap maukah denganku?
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, it's nice to meet you again in Music Corner. For today's edition, I present you religious song from Niji band titled Vibrasi. The song, which was released on April 12, 2019, is the first religious song of Niji band with its new vocalist, Ubay. With religious theme, the song Vibrasi is spiritual experience of Ariel, guitarist of Niji before the band suddenly stopped. The song tells about difficult is temporary, provided that we have to be sincere. We must thank, act, and surrender to God Almighty. Well, listener, here is the song Vibrasi by Niji.
Merasakan sepi karena akhirnya aku mengerti cahayamu yang tak pernah pergi dari kehidupan hambamu ini. Dunia penuh ilusi menekanku tanpa berhenti, sehingga aku terus mencari apakah arti dari hidup ini. Ketika hati bervibrasi, hadir perasaan yang damai, ikutilah hingga mengalir. Tersenyumlah, jangan khawatir, susahmu hanya sementara. Berserahlah sepenuh hati, sepenuh hati. Pergi dari kehidupan hambamu ini, sehingga aku terus mencari arti hidup. Ketika hati bervibrasi, hadir perasaan yang damai, ikutilah hingga tersenyumlah, jangan khawatir,
perasaan yang damai. Ikutilah hingga
Voice of Indonesia.
Ciptaku dan hidupku. Sabarkan hatiku, kuatkan imanku. Berkahi aku dan keluargaku dengan rahmatmu. Tuhan, kaulah cintaku.
lah sang pencerah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.